Good evening, Saints. If you were paying attention to the scriptures that was being read, there's a constant theme that runs through those scriptures. And that is what I'm going to be kind of speaking on tonight. One of the things that I constantly, when I'm talking to my class, is that I try to show how the Bible relates to what we're going through today. Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, when they think about the Bible, they think it's some old book that just have a whole bunch of stories and things of that nature. But the Bible is a living, breathing book. And examples that we see are definitely examples and lessons that we can learn and still experiencing today. And if you look at the four different scriptures that I chose tonight, you would see that each and every one of them was dealing with the children of Israel. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, that the children of Israel, when it was passing through and going into the promised land, is an example for us today. As well as you can read Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, tells us that the scriptures of old time is there for our learning. It's important that we learn from them. And it amazes me sometimes when I read stories and characters in the Old Testament and how it still relates today. That's how you know that the Bible is not written by the hand or the mind of man. It had to be written by a being that understands mankind in its fullest, right? Because, you know, the situations and the events that happened thousands of years ago is still going on today, right? That whoever God writing the Bible, that God understood mankind and how we think and how we react to different things. And like I said, that when we read about these stories about the children of Israel, we can see examples of that today. And the reason why I wanted to highlight the children of Israel, because, you know, if I was to have a title for this lesson, I would say how influence destroyed a kingdom. And we read about the children of Israel, and we see that it was influence, right? Influence. God chose a people to bring Christ into the world. And this people, we read about their lives and the journeys and the stories and their wars and the difficult times, but we also need to focus on how they failed through influence. They allowed the nations around them to influence us, to influence them. And influence is a interesting thing. As Christians, we know that the soul is something that God gives you before you're physically born in the world. Also, that the soul is something that when you die, and we need to all realize this, that your soul doesn't die, right? That your soul carries on with you after you die. And it's the same thing with influence. Influence transits our physical existence, meaning that you don't physically have to exist in this world to have influence. I'm pretty sure Alex and Farrah and even Constance and George are being influenced by the children that are in their bellies right now, right? That I know they're shaking their head, and George is like, man, more money, right? But, you know, so we see that before people or children are born, they're having influence on the people around them. And we know that, and think about those loved ones that we lost that still influence us today. So we see that influence is a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing, and it's something that we cannot escape. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, influence is always around us. Whether it's songs on the radio, whether it's something on TV, influence is always something that is around us. And it's like the children of Israel, right? Is that the children of Israel were surrounded by all these different nations, and God specifically told them and gave them instructions on how they are to act and deal with those nations around them. If you will, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verse number 9 to verse number 12. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. Now, mind you, in this, to give you context here, God is talking to the Levites, right? And more importantly, he's talking to the priests, right? He's talking to the priests. And this is what he says. He says, "When thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There should not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or to use the divinations, and or an observer of times, or a chanter, or witch, or charmer, or consulter, or familiar spirits, or wizards, or necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, nations that the Lord thy God does drive them out before thee." So we see that God is telling talking to the priests, right? And he's telling them, right, that whenever you go into the promised land, that these nations, these type of influences are going to be around you, right? And remember, these are priests that God is talking to. And it's similar to us today, right? Who are we? We are priests. We are God's royal priesthood. And we need to think about, we are surrounded each and every day, whether we are on our jobs, whether we're in school, no matter where we go, we are surrounded by different things. Now, God listed a whole bunch of different things that they ought to stay away from. These things still exist today, right? These things still exist today. You know, we have it, and sometimes when I'm talking to my to the teen class, I'm so concerned about them. I really am. I'm so concerned because I try to think about if God blesses them by the time they get my age, what are they going to be facing? Just think about what the world is heading to now. All the type of negative influence. In the power of their hand, they have these cell phones that have all type of negative influence that they can easily have access to. Influence is something that's all around us. Negative influence is something that's all around us. And it was the same with the children of Israel. That the children of Israel were surrounded by negative influence. And we saw that all the people that we can read about in the Old Testament, from the children of Israel, from Solomon to Rehoboam, we see that all of these people were influenced by people around them. And it's the same with us today, that we have all type of influence. It can even be our family members. You know, we have family members that can be a negative influence. I have a friend, a dear friend. I call him a friend. I call him a brother in Christ. And he wore a Dallas Cowboy jersey to worship on Wednesday. I mean, last Sunday, right? That was a negative influence to everybody in the congregation, right? but we have influences all around us. And it's important for us to recognize influence and how influence can play a role in our lives today. Christ has something to say about influence as well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 33. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 33, it says, "In another parable speak he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened." Now, a lot of times when we read about leaven in the Bible, it's given a negative connotation, right? It's always talking about negativity. But here it's talking about something that's positive. And those who don't know what leaven is, leaven is old dough, right? And that they use this old dough and mix it in with new dough, and when it ferments, it makes the bread rise. And leaven is something that is when it's put into the old dough, it's surrounded by that old dough. And not only that, is that leaven is not the thing that's being influenced, it's influencing the things around it. So let's turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Christ says that our influence, our leaven, that we should be like leaven to influence those around us. In Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1 and 2, it says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But listen to this. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't let this world conform us to his will. See, the thing is that when you have friendships and relationships, right, there's no such thing as a tie. And what I mean by that is that when you are in a friendship or relationship with somebody in the world, somebody is going to influence somebody, right? There's not a tie here, right? So the question is, who's influencing who? Are we influencing the people around us? We can't escape it. Or are we allowing influence to penetrate our lives and in our families? And sadly, church, there's so many, and I get passionate about this because I'm seeing so many congregations being influenced by things of this world, whether it's numbers of people within their congregation, whether it's money, whether it's just false doctrine. We're seeing so many congregations. Me and Brother Obed talk about this all the time, and it just seemed like every 6 months to a year, another congregation just falls, you fall by the wayside. And it's a shame. And I know that our elders know about more than what I know. It's a shame that we're seeing congregations that used to be sound being influenced by the world. I've seen so many brothers. This past week, I drove up to Shreveport, Louisiana, to go to a retirement, and I had a chance to see my old mentor. And you know, I had a chance to talk to him. And me and Brother Obed always talk about this, that you know, the route my mentor went was not the right route. I would say that. And it's a shame to see what he has done to the congregation that I left. And the reason why this is happening is because of influence. He allowed things and situations and things around him in the world to influence him. And it destroyed the congregation. Where you had a 70, 80 strong member congregation is dwindled down to about 10. So we see that when it comes to influence, that it doesn't make a difference how small or how great you are. You can be influenced. Another example of this is, think about the Apostle Peter. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now, everybody know about the Apostle Peter. He walked with Jesus, right? And in the Apostle Peter was somebody that was one of Jesus' strongest apostles or disciples. And also the Apostle Peter was the first one that preached the gospel sermon to the Gentiles. He was there when the Gentiles became members of the Lord's church. But watch what the Apostle Peter does. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 11, it says, but when Peter was come into Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to blame. For because that a certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which are the circumcision. And when the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, so much so that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before for them all, that thou, being a Jew, liveth after the manner of Gentiles, not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul confronted Peter. Why? Because Peter was influenced by the company that James brought with him. He caused a disturbance. He caused a division within the congregation because of James bringing certain Jews with him. Peter did not want to be seen eating with the Gentiles. And not only that, not only was Peter influenced, but Barnabas as well. Now, this is the same Barnabas that vouched for Paul when Paul first came and became a Christian. He was carried away. See, influence is something that's very contagious. Negative and positive influence is something that's very contagious. And if you're not careful, you can be carried away. If the Apostle Peter, the man who preached the first gospel sermon to the Jews and to the Gentiles, can be carried away, what about us? It's important that we understand the love and also understand that who we are in Christ. We are important. A lot of times we walk around like we don't have a friend in the world, but we are special. And we need to act as if we're special. A lot of times we think that we are not special. We tend to have and look at the eyes of the world as if they got something going on. So we need to understand that God wants us to influence them, not them influence us. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, all the way through chapter 7, this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And what the Sermon on the Mount is that Christ is giving, he's painting a picture, right? He's painting a picture of what a citizen of the kingdom should look like, not physically, but spiritually. He's showing us the heart of a citizen of the kingdom of God. Right. In chapter 5 and verses number 1 and following, he goes into what we call the Beatitudes. And that's where he's contrasting Christian living and the world's living. But what I want to focus on, verse number 13, because in verse number 13, what Christ does is that he shows us kingdom citizens and the influence that we have. In verse number 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? Is it not therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? One thing Christ does, he always uses illustrations to give us a clear understanding as to what he's talking about. He uses an illustration of salt, and he says that Christians, that we are the salt of the world. And you have to think about, what does salt do, right? Salt, what one thing salt does is that it adds flavor, right? It adds flavor. Alex over there shaking his head, right? It adds flavor, right? It adds flavor. When we speak into people, are we adding flavor to their lives? Are we telling them the truth of the gospel? Another thing that salt does, salt melts coldness. Through our example, through our speech, are we melting people's hearts? That's what the gospel does. If you're sharing the gospel, you should be melting people's hearts. Not only that salt heals wounds. That's what the gospel does. See, when we are out there and we encourage people to come door knocking, it's important that you come, because the thing is with door knocking is that you can learn a lot. You know, I know some people feel nervous that they, you know, have to be standing in front of somebody's door and speaking to them about God. But this is what Christ asks you to do. And just think about the examples you're setting for the little ones. You know, I love to go door knocking and have Noah and Hannah and all the little ones around me. It's something to see. You should see Noah and his sister, how excited they get just to go knock on people's doors. Sometimes, you know, you got to hold them back, you know, because they're trying to get into somebody's house. Look at that excitement. They are influencing me, and they're even not Christians yet. Think about that. What about us? We should be excited to go and knock on people's doors. We are the salt. We need to be telling people about the gospel. And the last thing that salt does, it preserves. It saves, y'all. It preserves. We are an example to the world. We ought to be. We cannot allow negative influence to influence us. We should have positive influence. And my last scripture for tonight, let me show you an example of a congregation. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 6. Now, I'm not going to tell you, but I want you to study. I want you to study 1 Thessalonians. Not only that, I want you to study the church in Thessalonica. I want you to understand what they've been through, how poor they were, right? How poor they were. But listen what Paul has to say about this congregation. In verse number 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. That ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Arcadia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and our Arcadia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You see, this congregation, let me tell you about this congregation. This congregation was poor physically, monetarily. But when the church needed money in Jerusalem, they gave of their means. And you can read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were examples, not only to those in the area, but those around them. Paul spoke glowingly about this congregation. Can other congregations say that about us? Are we out there being an influence just like this congregation here in Thessalonica? We need to have an impact. We need to be a positive influence, not only to those individuals here within this building, but also those within our lives. In our homes, in our jobs, in our schools, no matter where we go, we need to have a positive influence. You know, and this is the last story I'm going to tell you, is that, and I think Brother Obey can attest to this, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but, you know, this past, I would say it was springtime, summertime, when Brother C.D., and Sister Janice Payne were in the hospital. When I tell you that the amount of positive influence that I got for those two individuals when I went to bring them worship. I mean, me and Brother Obed talk about that all the time. It was amazing to see people in their elderly years still concerned about people obeying the gospel. When nurses come in the room trying to spread the gospel, even in their condition, in pain, not feeling their best, still spreading the gospel, still being that positive influence. And by witnessing that, it recharged my battery. It made me want to be better. Made me stop complaining about the little things I'm going through. It made me want to do and be a more positive influence to those around me. So if we have those in the congregation that want to be a part of this kingdom, want to be a part of Christ's kingdom and have a positive influence in the world, well, you can do so. You can be a member of the Lord's church by obeying the gospel, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. But maybe we have some of those that are members of the Lord's church and have not been a positive example to those around them. Maybe it's been times in your life that you were a negative example. Maybe you recently been a negative example. Well, it's a time that you can get it right and turn it around as we stand and sing the song of invitation.